And welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Yeah, samnation.com. Visit our site. You know, we always have some good stuff on there. And, of course, Twitter, at Sam Nation Show, and Instagram, at Sam Nation. So, AIPAC Trump speech. Crazy news. So for the first time, everybody in the news is having a little bit of a cow about this, because they're saying the rebuke that Trump was given was unprecedented. Apparently, after Trump gave his speech at AIPAC, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, the president of AIPAC delivered almost a tearful, well, it was almost one of these, well, we'll talk about millennials later, but it was almost this just tearful apology about how what does she say? From the moment this conference began until this moment, we have preached a message of unity. We have said in every way we can think of, come together. But last evening, something occurred which has the potential to drive us apart, to divide us. What kind of drivel is this? We say unequivocally that we do not countenance ad hominem attacks. Is that English? I'm confused. We do not countenance ad hominem attacks. And we take great offense to those that are levied against the President of the United States of America from our stage. Are you kidding me? So last time I checked, AIPAC is the Israel policy arm, the Israel policy lobby in the U.S. Obama, I think, no big friend to Israel. But no, we cannot criticize. No criticism can be levied. Okay, so what happened? Oddly enough, this speech, got a chance to watch it, and I was expecting wandering and rambling and the kind of the usual, you know, crazy Trump stuff. And instead, let me tell you, what we had was a lethal, policy-specific, focused speech that I think gave us a glimpse of what Trump as a serious candidate would be like. And I'm not alone. I found, there were reactions along, where is it in my stack of stuff here? Oh, Washington Times, Charles Hurt talks about it. In fact, the opening line, and this may terrify you, the race is over. Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. Robbie, what do you think? Robbie has his doubts. But anyway, Mr. Trump's address to the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee Monday night was thoughtful and considered. It was not one of his rambling ad-lib campaign speeches. Okay, and then he talks about how he lays out this clear and concise vision, all the threats facing the Middle East. But the one thing he doesn't talk about here, Mr. Hurt fails to mention, is that as I'm watching the speech, you can't see the audience, but they're cheering. Everybody in the room is going bananas every time Trump delivers a line. And they're not his usual Trump stump speech, bravado, kind of laden, crazy talk. It was focused. It really was. It was presidential. That's right. It was presidential. So, what would happen, and I, you know, I, when you talk to people and no one, well, I'll give you this example. Robbie has a story too. Producer Robbie, I'll start with his story because I think his is pretty good. He was telling me how the other day he's going to the dry cleaners. And there are two guys there. The make sure I get the story right. Was it the owner is an Arab guy, Robbie. And right, am I getting this right? And then you walk in, he's talking to another customer, and all as you walk in, Robbie walks in, and immediately the tone becomes very hushed, becomes very quiet. And they start to whisper, and they're talking about Trump. They don't want him to hear, right? They don't want to, and the gist of the conversation, right? They were talking about how they hope Trump can get the nomination because he's the one that can beat Hillary, and they are excited about it. But what I, well, the takeaway is, they didn't want Robbie to hear, right? They didn't want Robbie to hear. And so, I had the same thing happen at the gym. I'm finished with my workout. I'm changing these couple of old guys were there. And what do they say? One guy says to the other guy, "Are you going to vote for Trump? Like, seriously, are you going to vote for Trump?" And the guy, and I know these guys, they're, This guy that's getting asked his questions, a smart guy, he's a retired doctor. He clearly understood the question, and for the next 2 minutes, he pretended that he didn't understand the question. So he answers. He says something like, "Yeah, you know, I what do you mean? In what way?" The guy looks at him incredulously. "What do you mean, what way? Voting for him for president? Oh, you mean like in the election?" The guy didn't want to answer it. So I think there are cocktail parties all across America right now where people won't admit that they have at least some sympathetic feelings for him. And I think it comes down to this. If Trump delivered more AIPAC type speeches, he would be doing much better in the delegate count. He would be. He wouldn't be Donald Trump. Some of the entertainment value would be gone, but this was phenomenal. And he lays out, you're listening to him talk about the part about heroes, where he's talking about a world where, you know, we need a world where our heroes are firefighters and policemen and athletes, and how terrorists live in a world where they're heroes. Their heroes are people that go out and maim and murder. Think about that. Where in Hillary Clinton's response to the atrocities that occurred at the Brussels airport and at the metro station do you hear any condemnation of Islamic terror, of Islamic fundamentalism that leads to terror? You don't. Nowhere. And, you know, I remember, obviously when the attacks occurred, turning on all the news channels and trying to get a grasp of what's happening. And the Hillary Clinton phone in to Good Morning America was terrible. We don't have the audio because it's terrible radio. I don't know how they gave her that much airtime. It must have been that Trump didn't have a platter of steaks and $2 chuck to show off, because it was terrible. You heard it. I mean, she spent 20 minutes rambling. And then Trump gets on. And he says, the quote was, "We need to stop playing tiddlywinks with terrorism." Tiddlywinks. Well, he's right. He's right. So he was also right. Well, no, this is not our funny news story for the day, but he was also right about Belgium, was he not? the internet is abuzz with a little bit of schadenfreude for the New York Times, who condemned Trump back in January for beating up on poor little Belgium. Donald Trump calling Brussels, the capital of Belgium, a quote-unquote hellhole. And I guess he was getting pressed on Fox Business Network by Maria Bartiromo about how he has his proposal to ban all Muslims from entering the U.S. And Trump's response to it was, well, yeah, look, I mean, these places that have virtually unlimited ports of entry, unlimited number of North African and Middle Eastern immigrants flowing into their countries have become, well, they have these no-go zones, right? They've got these terrible neighborhoods where they have it's unsafe for the police to go in and do their thing. So anyway, so Trump basically slags on Brussels, slags on Belgium, and he gets taken to town on it. He gets taken to the cleaners, condemned by the New York Times for just dumping on Brussels. And he says bad things are going to happen. There's no assimilation. Something bad is going on. Crazy. What if you're right? Something to think about. Okay. There's a little trend going on in Japan, and I want to talk about that really quick next segment here. Stay tuned. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. On my way to the studio today, I probably saw the ugliest car I've ever seen. I hope I'm not offending anybody here. Yeah, there's this new Toyota. Well, the Prius used to be the gold standard, right? There's some new fuel cell car, and I think the objective, I'm trying to understand this, the more efficient a car is, the uglier it has to be. Because this new, I don't know what this model is, but it was this brand new Toyota, and it looked like a mutated Prius. And I think the thing with the Prius, I remember when the first Prius came out, and it was a big deal. Remember how people, I mean, now everyone has a Prius, but back then you were saving the environment. I mean, if you had a Prius, you were doing right by society. And yeah, I think Prius drivers, well, some of them still are, but they were really full of themselves, right? I mean, they drove around, and the Prius, the first gen Prius was horrible. It was a horrible looking car. It had no design aesthetic whatsoever. It was all function, right? It meant to be driven high, good gas mileage, all that stuff. Well, so this new fuel cell car, and I don't know if it's even commercially available, but I passed it and I winced. I winced. It was so ugly. And well, okay, so some of that's Japanese design, and these car manufacturers, I think we're seeing cars that for years Japan tried to mimic European design. You know, they tried to make cars that were a very, very neutral kind of a committee adaptation of what was out there available from Germany and other European countries. And now they're going for more of a true Japanese style. I like it for the most part. I think a lot of attractive cars on the road. Not this one. So I'll tell you what's a little disconcerting news out of Japan, too. So have you been? Japan is probably the safest country you can visit. And Tokyo is the safest big city in the world. I don't have any statistics to back it up, but I've been there many times. I guess the best anecdote I have is that my wife and I are, when you go to Japan, you get very jet lagged. This is a normal thing. You will not be sleeping when you first. There's something about that time change, crossing the date line, and you're just there. You are, and so you wake up really early in the morning. And one of these mornings, we decided that we were just going to leave the hotel room and go for a walk. So 4 or 5 in the morning, we are walking through the city, there's a part where you can go underground into the subway that connects into the main central station there in the heart of Tokyo. And when you go under the station, there's all these stores, just like you have in other cities here in the U.S. And these stores are not open yet, and they sell different types of merchandise. But the one thing that these stores all have is they've gotten their morning deliveries. This is crazy. Stacked neatly in front of these closed stores are packages, just goods, right? Merchandise. And there's no concern that anybody's going to steal it. None. It's sitting there. And we're laughing because, yeah, can you imagine this in New York? It wouldn't last a minute. And what it is Japan is a society there's honor is really important. You don't do things to put shame on your family. So there's people are duty bound to do the right thing. My dad and I, on our very first trip to Tokyo ever, this is, I think, on my second day, we spotted this homeless guy, and he's getting up in the morning, and he rolls up his sleeping bag, puts it away in his backpack. And there's something about him. It was just fascinating to watch. So we're looking at him rolling up his sleeping bag, puts it away, pulls out a little brush, a little sweeper mop hand brush, and proceeds to sweep up underneath him. He's cleaning up after himself. And that's when it struck me. I thought, we need some Japanese homeless people in L.A., obviously. Bring them. So imagine my shock when I read this article that there is a gray wave of crime blanketing Japan. Yes, a gray wave. Because there has been a spike in street crime. Not violent street crime, mostly pickpocketing and that type of stuff. And why is it a gray crime wave? Well, because these people are old. It's a bunch of pensioners. One 83-year-old lady, Sato Kamiyama, she was caught pickpocketing in the Tokyo railway station, the very place I just talked to you about. And guess what? The police say she's been questioned at least 20 other times about related thefts. She tells the police, "I do it for the money." Well, there you go. If I see a wallet, I'll take it. The Japanese National Police reports that crimes by pensioners had outstripped offenses by juveniles in the first half of the year for the first time. And here's the thing. They're even saying that there's a significant proportion of these arrests for violent crimes. So imagine you visiting Tokyo and get like this guy here, 75-year-old man, grabs some guy by the throat and starts to choke him. Well, I think this sounds like he was just trying to this kid to get a drop a cigarette, but I'm okay with that. If some guy's smoking in front of me, maybe I feel like grab him and by the throat. But at any rate, crime is up. And it's an interesting thing because it's in this country where it's unusual. And to think that, well, I guess that's one thing to do. She says it's for the money. I think they're bored. I mean, they've got a pretty strict retirement age in Japan. And what do you do? And there's a widening gap. That's what, of course, the Daily Telegraph goes to. They're talking about inequity. But also, Japan has an enormously high rate of they have a growing aging population. So it's interesting at any rate. Well, the political race, what did we have? What's my update? My update is, well, Trump won Arizona, and Cruz cleaned up. Cruz cleaned up in Utah and in Idaho. And let's talk a little bit about that. Both Idaho and Utah are very, very Mormon. Utah, obviously, Idaho, maybe it might surprise you, but it is a heavily Mormon state. It is they've got one of the BYU campuses is in Idaho, in Rexburg. And Trump has a Mormon problem. He does. There were articles that this was all well established before the primary. And part of it is the Romney factor. Obviously, Romney gets up and he gives a speech. And Romney, somebody who's phenomenally respected in the Mormon community. And I know this. So Romney has a following. He carried Utah by like 95% 4 years ago. So Romney is still a very relevant person in Utah. He has a home in Utah, obviously an LDS guy. My wife is LDS. Yeah. So I know a little bit about this she's from Utah. And I can tell you, there's a lot of loyalty among LDS people to their own, especially to their own that succeed, right? And it's like that in any community. And so while Romney may not, loyal Trump supporters obviously didn't listen to what Romney said. And there are probably some people on the fence that did listen to what Romney had to say when he denounced Trump and gave all his concerns and reasons for why Trump doesn't have a viable candidacy. But the most important thing here is that in that closed insulated community, those people really did hear and want to listen to what Romney said, and it probably influenced the race. Now, did it change anything? Not really. Well, we'll talk about Glenn Beck later. Well, Glenn Beck is full. I mean, he's come unhinged. I mean, you would think that Cruz is the next Messiah. And did you hear what I want to talk about? We're going to talk about Glenn Beck in a minute, because I love when he stepped in it with the "their God" comment. You remember that, Robbie? Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. So, but the quick delegate math is that Trump, remember last week we talked to you about Trump, he needs roughly 60% of the delegates. That's what he did. He got roughly 60% of the delegates. And remember when we said that Cruz needed roughly 82, 83% of the delegates? Well, he didn't. So Cruz is not winning this. It's really, it's the story hasn't changed. Trump is either going to the convention with 1237 or he's not. But he's going to miss it by, he's going to be the guy that's in the lead, especially when we go to all these Northwest states. Okay. When we come back, yeah, we got to talk about Glenn Beck. Yeah. What was it? What was his thing? Fasting baby? Fasting boy. Can't make this stuff up. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, Kasich apparently is still in the race. Robbie, did you know about this? Yeah, so he's in the race. But it's important to point out that in delegate count, at least, this is a 3-man race, and Kasich is in fourth place. What he intends to achieve exactly is unclear. There's suspicion, of course, you know, and we've talked about it last week and the week before, that Kasich is plotting with the establishment to take the convention, if it's an open convention, to take it by storm and to come out as a dark horse candidate. And it's just it's so ludicrous. Did he register anywhere? No, he really didn't do very well in any of these primaries. Did he get any delegates? No, he didn't. He got zero delegates in Tuesday's primaries. And so he's just got this ego. He thinks he's got something relevant to give. Did you see the video of him getting pulled over by the police officer? Yeah, so this came out roughly a week ago. And it was, I think it's a couple of things. One, so it's a dash cam video that gets released by a sheriff in Idaho in response to Kasich giving some very, he didn't pull any punches. He gave, he was giving a speech somewhere and talks about this idiot trooper that pulls him over. And we'll put this up on our site so you can see this on samnation.com. At any rate, so he gets pulled over and, two things. One, he is that annoying guy that talks back. The trooper was being nothing but polite. And he is that guy that talks back to the cop, which is, it's not helpful. And pointless. What do you want to get shot, right? I mean, but the other takeaway from it is that he drives a Toyota Avalon. Now, I don't want to disparage anyone out there who drives a Toyota Avalon. But if you do, your car is really, really boring. I mean, the Toyota Avalon is the official vehicle of an old person. It's just it's a boring car. And so there Kasich is driving an Avalon. And now, should he buy American? Now, that's a question. For all his rhetoric, I mean, maybe he should buy American, right? I was picturing him in some kind of in a Ford pickup truck or something. That fit his, Toyota Avalon. So, and then he complains about how he got mistreated. And, you get into the story and you look into his history and he's a hot-headed guy. The irony of it is that he's a guy that on stage is very even keel and, mild-mannered and dare I say, wise, presidential. Whatever that means, right? And he's this breath of fresh air to all this derisive political pimp-slapping going on. But truth be told, Kasich's a guy who, going back to stories about him as governor, lobbyists would warn their clients before they go in to meet him, saying, hey, just, beware. This guy flies off the handle. So, don't be alarmed. Others say that, Kasich would yell at you one day. He'd just yell at you and berate you, and then he'd call you back 2 days later and says, you know what, man, maybe there was a kernel of truth in what you were saying. Yeah, Trump will just yell at you. I think Trump comes across a lot more boisterous in public, and then when you read articles about him, most journalists are surprised by how subdued and cerebral and thoughtful and that he's a listener in private. And Cruz somewhere. Well, Cruz, what's the draw to Trump? And there's this brouhaha now this week with Melania Trump, and there's a super PAC. What are they called? They're called Making America. No, what are they? Making America Awesome. That's the one. play on words. Making America awesome. And what do? They, for the Utah primary, and this is, that we'll put this up on the site too. They put up a meme, for those of you not internet savvy, that is M-E-M-E. And it's one of those funny pictures that your grandkids send you, you know, with text at the top and the bottom. And the meme is, well, I'll start with what the picture shows. I like what the picture shows. Melania Trump. What do you think, Missy? I mean, good body, right? Franz? Yeah. Yeah, Franz would vote for her. Meet Melania Trump, your next first lady. So far, I'm sold. Or, at the bottom here, or you could support Ted Cruz on Tuesday. And she's naked, right? She's naked on some kind of animal fur, which is just downright sexy. And the best part about it is, in the background, if I'm not mistaken, it appears to be taken on a private jet. So this is just every man's dream, right? A beautiful naked woman on an animal fur in a giant private jet. I rest my case. But the Super PAC, that of course is not affiliated in any way with Ted Cruz, runs this in super conservative Utah and Idaho, and they deliberately targeted Mormon women on Facebook, that demographic. Now, the Super PAC is headed by some gal named Liz Mayer, and Liz, well, she responded, the Slate ran, yeah, it's bad when Slate comes to Trump's defense, saying, well, there's no need to slut-shame Melania in a political ad. Well, then they also add, Trump is horrible enough. So, what happens then? This ad goes out. Cruz's Super PAC is, again, not affiliated with Cruz in any way, right? Whatever that means. Not affiliated. They run this ad, and Trump goes berserk. And this is where I just take his Twitter account away. He first, I'm going to make sure I get the timeline right. He first writes, fires off a tweet, something to the effect of, you know, game on, you know, game on, let's, you know, I'm coming after Heidi. And then he deletes that tweet. And then I think on Thursday, he comes out with a tweet with a side-by-side comparison of Heidi Cruz, wife of Senator Ted Cruz, and Melania Trump. Now, Melania, in this second picture, is wearing clothes. She still looks good. And the picture of Heidi Cruz is not flattering at all. In fact, I'm no expert, but she looks like a horse. Okay. Now, the internet is on fire over this. It was all anyone talked about on Thursday. Oh, Trump, he's in the gutter. And here's my take on this. Here's my take on it. What is he doing? It's pointless, right? It's almost childish. It is childish. And you took the bait, right? Because let's play this out. I'm gonna take a wild leap and say that it was Cruz Super PAC that coordinated this attack, and they knew that Trump is a little bit of a hothead. They knew that Trump was going to respond to this. But they also know, and this is deliberate, I promise you, they knew that Trump would not respond using a Super PAC. He doesn't have any Super PACs. Trump is going to respond himself. You mess with my woman, I'm going to smack you back. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I will tell you, if you're sitting in your living room right now or in your car and you're dumbfounded, I just don't understand how anyone could possibly vote for this buffoon, this clown, this this carnival barker. I don't get it. I mean, this is just Megyn Kelly. Seriously? Question mark. Shut up. You don't get it. I will explain to you folks why Trump is not going to lose any supporters. It's very simple. People can relate to a guy that defends his wife. And whether they can explain it or not, they understand that what Trump is doing is he's being himself and he is directly responding. While this other attack coming from a super PAC is backhanded subterfuge. I think that the best comparison is if you go to work and you've got that coworker that talks smack about you behind your back, you probably like that person less than you like than the person that just comes up to you and says, you know what, you smell, you got to do something about that. Mm-hmm. Not today! Right? So, I think it comes down to that. I think it comes down to that. That people inherently trust the person that comes at them, that comes straight at them. And unfiltered. If this election is all about people being done with conventional politicians that say all the right things, lie, and then go into office and do something completely different than what they promised during the election, they still find, even though it's vulgar and even though it's clownish and unwarranted and unnecessary, they still like the guy who just says it right off the top of his head because you know that he's not running it through some kind of a filter. Yeah, that's it. Simple as that. Okay, we need to... Glenn Beck, we're going to get to this. Back after this, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Yeah, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And, well, yeah, so imagine you're driving on the freeway and then all of a sudden it gums up in front of you. And what do? You come to a stop and you think, okay, this is going to be stuck here. And all of a sudden, bam, you get hit from behind. And you look in your rearview mirror and who else is it but John Kasich driving in his boring Toyota Avalon? Well, the problem is now your car's busted up, right? And you're hurt. You're feeling pain. And, you know, and yeah, the police show up and they do an there's the other guy. He's yelling at the cop. Do you know who I am? Let me tell you. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm going to get screwed. I mean, this guy's so powerful, you know, I don't stand a chance. Well, wrong. You're not going to get screwed. And the reason is because you're going to call Sweet James Bergner. And Sweet James, he is the personal injury attorney that will make sure that you get taken care of. And, you know, there are a lot of imposters out there, people that purport to be great and amazing at what they do, and they'll fight for you and all that stuff. But there's only one true champion of the people, James Bergner. He's the attorney that's going to take care of you. Hey, car accident, dog bite, slip and fall. If you're hurt, don't talk to the insurance company. They're not going to listen. They're not there to help you out. They're only there to save money, and they save money by not paying you what your claim is worth. Remember that. So your first call should be to get your pen and paper ready. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz has a fanboy. Can we say that? Fanboy. Yeah, Glenn Beck. So a little bit of history on Glenn Beck in case we don't remember. Glenn Beck had he was an up-and-coming star on Fox News. Now, Robbie reminded me just now. Yeah, but higher ratings than O'Reilly for a period of time. And, he's the guy with the white hair, a little bit pudgier. What is his story? He was a recovered alcoholic, right? It was part of his life story. But the most important thing about him is, he talks about it all the time, is he's an adult convert to Mormonism. And the takeaway I always had, because he was on Fox News and he had this highly rated program, and then it slowly began to slip into crazy land. And when I say crazy land, you guys saw it too, right? what happened? He would start to evangelize on his program. He did on Fox News what Tom Cruise did on Oprah's couch. There was a lot of jumping up in the air, getting on his knees, talking straight into the camera. The guy looked like my friend's cat on catnip. It was crazy. He slowly was becoming unhinged to the point that Fox politely declined to renew his contract. And he was making money for him. I remember seeing a special. I mean, there he was. He had a corner office, Fox headquarters. You know, he was bringing in top ratings, a lot of money. And Roger Ailes, say what you will about him, the director of Fox News, the president of Fox News, and the genius behind what it has become. One of the things you've got to do in this business is you've got to know when somebody's losing their marbles. And so what? he kind of gets politely shown out the door. But anyway, they did it in a classy way, and then what he does, he moves to Texas, and he moves to Dallas, Texas. He actually happens to live in my brother-in-law's neighborhood, of all things. Goes to church with him. True story. And he has his own channel. He decides, I'm never going to get booted off another network again. I'm going to make my own media. And so here's the rub. Here's my take on it. Okay, when you go to work at Fox News, you've got a whole environment of people that surround you that are very that are A players in the business, and they're there to give you good advice. They're there to tell you, you know what, don't do that, and maybe a little more of this. And it's important when your talent, like he is, especially nationally televised guy, to have a few people telling you, you know, do more of this, do less of that, you know, and maybe that thing over there, don't do that at all. And isn't it the Trump criticism that he doesn't have anybody telling him that? So when you're on your own and you're starting your own channel, your own medium, you're the guy at the top and nobody's telling you what not to do. And so suddenly now over the years, we've had this sort of unfiltered Beck on the airwaves. And it's a little bit wackadoodle. Other people are a little more circumspect about not endorsing a candidate. And Beck has gone full on for Cruz. And he has, so he's, yeah. And so, but here's the, so he's doing this rally. He's doing these rallies for Ted Cruz, and he does one in Provo, Utah. Provo. That is where the main campus of Brigham Young University is. This place is, I've got to tell you, this place is very Mormon. Producer Robbie, you used to live there, did you not? Those were your wild years, if I remember correctly. Provo, Utah is absolutely it's an armpit. I mean, I'm sorry. It's a beautiful mountains. some nice people, but it is not a. It is suburbia as far as the eye can see, and everybody is Mormon and happy. And if you are not Mormon and not happy, you are you're in trouble. Also, I think a lot of this is the dark side of it, right? There's a lot of substance abuse. Everybody's on happy pills, trying to keep up with the Joneses. At any rate, there's this giant rally there. Beck is up on stage, and he pulls up this kid, Little Dale. Little Dale from Provo, Utah. And what? And Little Dale gets up, and Beck introduces him as this guy, this kid has been fasting every Tuesday for the past 3 weeks to help Cruz win the presidency. Now, fasting, at least in Mormon doctrine, involves abstaining from food and water, usually for, it's done once a month. Is that my recollection? Once a month. Water's okay for long term. Okay, so that's what it is. So food and water short term, and then just food if you're going to be doing a long term fast. Okay. This kid is how old? I think he's 12. What did we say? 12 or 13? So there's this 12 year old kid who is not eating, so Cruz can win the presidency. And I mean that it's yes. I don't think that's normal. I don't think that's healthy. I have an 8 year old son. I'm going to tell you right now, if he skips a meal, I'm worried. Okay, when your kid is going through a growth spurt, the last thing you want to do is deny him food for any length of time. There are some days when my kid will eat more than I can. Yeah, and if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. So this is, the whole premise here of this kid fasting is just crazy. But Beck is getting up on stage and he's fired up and what now? It's taking on a life of its own. They're calling it Fasting Boy. And well, and how's it working? Well, it's not except for the fact that Cruz did get a little bit of a lifeline in Utah, as we discussed, in Idaho. He got 40 delegates, picked up 40 delegates, which is less than 40% of the delegates that were available on that election day. Is that right? Less than 40%. And he needs about 83, 84 to reach the magic number in time for the convention. Now, speaking of the convention, I have some news. It's official. I will be going to the Republican National Convention. And I am pretty damn excited about it. Yeah. I'm gonna come back with some great stories. Am I rooting for chaos? No, I'm not. It's gonna be a fun convention regardless. Look, if the Trump train pulls in with all the delegates that he needs, well, it's gonna be a hell of a show. And if he doesn't, he's still going to be up there. He's still going to be his delegates are going to dominate that convention. And what does that mean? It still means that there's going to be, I mean, it's going to get wild. Kasich's going to pull in with his Toyota. Or maybe he'll trade it in for that fuel cell car that I saw. Oh, my goodness. Really good to talk to you today, and we'll be back here next week doing the same thing one more time. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.